Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're getting into something that hits close to home for a lot of us, digital health. But the real deal, not just the hype. We're talking about how it's actually playing out for people in Birmingham and Solihull.
Yeah, you hear all this talk about digital solutions for healthcare, but what does that actually look like when you zoom in on individual experiences?
Yeah.
Especially in communities that often get overlooked.
Exactly. And that's why I'm so glad we're diving into this report today from SmartLight, or Get Families Talking, as they're also known. They're doing some amazing work on the ground, working directly with communities in Birmingham and Solihull to figure out how to make digital health work for everyone.
Right, so they partnered with the BSOL ICS.
Hold on. For those of us who don't speak acronym, what is BSOL ICS?
Oh, sorry. It stands for Birmingham and Solihull Integrated Care System. Basically, they're the ones kind of leading the charge on digital health in the area.
Okay, so like online appointment booking, virtual doctor visits, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And that's where SmartLight comes in. They wanted to see, you know, how are these digital services actually landing with people? Are they truly accessible and helpful for everyone? So they trained local residents to be community health peer researchers.
We'll call them CHPRs for short.
Right, CHPRs. And they went into their own communities. We're talking Bangladeshi, Yemeni, Indian, Pakistani, and people affected by gambling to get those real lived experiences.
I love that. It's not just researchers in some ivory tower making assumptions. It's people from those communities sharing their own experiences.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Totally. And you know what's really incredible? This project wasn't just about gathering information. It had a huge impact on the CHPRs themselves.
How so?
A lot of them started out, you know, maybe feeling a bit stuck, like they didn't have the skills or the opportunities to pursue their dreams. But through this project, they learned how to navigate the digital world, how to advocate for themselves and their communities.
They found their voice.
Yes. There's this one story about a CHPR who was a mother of four. She was saying how before the project, she kind of, you know, put aside her own aspirations.
I think a lot of parents, especially moms, can relate to that.
Right. But then she learns how to use her GP's website, figures out how to order repeat prescriptions online for a child. And it's like this light bulb moment.
Wait, I can do this? I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just her feeling empowered. Her kids saw it too. She actually told this story about how her child started telling all their friends, "My mommy works."
Oh, that's amazing. It's like this ripple effect of empowerment.
Exactly. And it all started with something as seemingly simple as, you know, digital literacy.
That's really powerful. Okay, so we're talking about digital literacy. But what are some of the specific challenges these communities are facing? It's easy to say digital literacy and assume, yeah, everyone's got that, right?
Right. But then you hear a story like that about the CHPR and her kid, and it really hits home. You know, these skills, they have a ripple effect.
Absolutely. So let's dig into some more of these real life stories from the report. One thing that really struck me was how digital access, or the lack of it, plays out in ways you might not expect.
Oh, for sure. Like, we often talk about tech for accessing healthcare, right?
Right.
But there's this one story in the report about a man who was trying to help his wife find information about contraception.
Okay, already a sensitive topic. Could be tricky even in the best of times.
Exactly. And in this case, they were relying on him to do the online research because of language barriers, but he was struggling too. He just couldn't quite get his head around all the online stuff because he wasn't that digitally literate himself.
So it's like a double barrier they're facing.
Yeah. And this is something we heard again and again, especially from people from marginalized communities. They're trying to take charge of their health, look out for their families, but they keep hitting these walls. Sometimes it's language, sometimes it's the tech, sometimes it's all of it mixed up together.
It really makes you realize it's not enough to just have websites and apps available, right? People need to be able to use them, understand them, trust them.
100%. And it's not even just about healthcare. You know, this report really opened my eyes to how much digital access, or the lack of it, shapes our everyday lives in ways we might not even realize.
Give me an example.
Well, there's this bit about how it even affects something as basic as what families are eating.
Yeah.
They talked about this parent who was stuck at home sick, relying on takeout food because they couldn't manage to cook. And meanwhile, their kids were ordering food through apps.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
It just shows how digital literacy is about way more than just knowing how to use a computer. It's about navigating this whole digital world in a way that's good for you, making healthy choices for you and your family.
Digital literacy as a life skill, not just a tech skill.
Exactly. And let's not forget the mental health side of things, which we touched on earlier with, you know, gambling addiction.
Right, where tech can be part of the problem and the solution.
The report really hammered home the message that we need to be looking at the whole picture. We can't just focus on the digital stuff and ignore all the social, economic, cultural stuff that's tied up with it.
No more handing someone a smartphone and saying, good luck out there.
Right. It's about creating a support system where people feel empowered to use these tools in a way that actually works for them. And that brings us to something that SmartLight is really pushing for, community-driven solutions.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Instead of just pointing out all the problems, what are they actually doing about it?
Well, their whole philosophy is about recognizing that real, lasting change has to come from within the community.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of showing up with these pre-packaged solutions, they're all about building trust, having those open conversations, and working with the people they're trying to serve.
That makes sense. But what does that actually look like in practice? Any concrete examples?
Sure. One thing that's having a real impact is their Digital Health Champions program. Basically, they're training people from the community to be these, like, tech guides, you know?
Like tech-savvy neighbors who can help out. I love that.
Exactly. So these champions are out there helping people in their networks access online health resources, book appointments, even just figure out how to use those basic digital tools.
It's about meeting people where they are, which seems way more effective and more human than some official website.
Absolutely. People are much more likely to ask for help from someone they already know and trust. And the great thing is, this isn't a one-off thing. SmartLight's playing the long game here, trying to create lasting change.
Which is key, because technology is always changing, right?
Right.
What works today might be totally different tomorrow.
Exactly. And speaking of building for the future, remember we talked about those community health peer researchers, the CHPRs?
Yeah, such a cool part of this project.
Well, they're planning on training even more CHPRs, building on all the great work from this first round of research.
That's fantastic. So not only are they giving more people a voice, but also empowering them to become leaders and advocates within their communities.
Exactly. And it really highlights something that often gets overlooked, the importance of being culturally sensitive when we're trying to bridge these digital divides.
Because one size fits all rarely fits anyone, right?
Exactly. You can't just show up with these generic solutions and expect them to work for everyone. You need to understand the specific needs, values, beliefs of the community you're trying to reach.
Like learning someone's language before you try to have a conversation, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's what makes SmartLight's work so important. They get it. They speak the community's language, which lets them build those bridges where others just see obstacles.
Love that. Okay, as we wrap up this part of our digital health deep dive, I want everyone listening to think about this idea, the power of community.
Because as we've seen from SmartLight's example, real change, lasting change, doesn't come from some top-down approach. It comes from the ground up.
From those everyday heroes, those CHPRs who are out there making a difference. And when we come back, we'll leave you with some final thoughts and a question to ponder as we navigate this increasingly digital world. Don't go anywhere.
So we've really journeyed deep into digital health in Birmingham and Solihull, haven't we?
Yeah, from those big picture ideas about using technology in healthcare, all the way down to the nitty-gritty of people's daily lives.
And I think if there's one thing I'm taking away from all this, it's that just having access to the tech isn't even half the battle.
Right. Like we said earlier, you can't just hand someone a smartphone and expect all those barriers to magically disappear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People need the skills to use that technology, sure, but they also need support. And maybe even more importantly, they need to trust the system. It's about empowering people to use these tools in a way that genuinely benefits them.
And that's what I find so inspiring about SmartLight's approach. They really get that.
They're not just throwing tech at the problem and hoping for the best. They're building relationships, really listening to the community and working with them to create services that are truly effective and equitable.
They're bridging that gap between, you know, good intentions and the realities of people's lives, which can get messy.
Yes. And they're doing it in a way that feels sustainable. They're not just putting a Band-Aid on things. They're trying to create lasting change.
Which is what it's all about, right? This digital world isn't going anywhere.
Definitely not. And as digital health services become even more embedded in our lives, we have to ask ourselves some hard questions.
Like, how can we make sure these advancements actually help everyone, not just a select few? How do we make sure they don't leave people behind?
Exactly. Are we using tech to create a more equitable and inclusive future? Or are we just making those existing inequalities even worse?
Big questions. And I'll be honest, I don't have all the answers. Do you?
Me neither. But the important thing is that we're having these conversations. We're acknowledging that this stuff is complicated, and we're actively looking for solutions that work for everyone.
It's not just about the tech itself. It's about people's lives, their health, their well-being.
Absolutely. And what gives me hope is that there are organizations like SmartLight out there showing us a better way, showing us that it is possible to approach this with empathy and a real commitment to community.
100%. They remind us that sometimes the best, most innovative solutions don't come from big tech companies. They come from the communities themselves.
From those everyday heroes, those CHPRs, who are living these challenges and working to create a better future for themselves and their communities.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave everyone with one final thought.
Let it simmer in your mind as you go about your day.
As we rely more and more on technology, how can we make sure it serves all of us in a way that feels humane, equitable, and empowering?
How do we create a digital future where everyone has the opportunity to truly thrive?
These aren't easy questions, but they are vital ones to think about.
They are.
And for anyone listening who's feeling inspired, who wants to know more about SmartLight's work and maybe even get involved, you can head over to their website at website address.
Learn more about their programs, see how you can support their mission, and be part of creating that more inclusive digital future we've been talking about.
That's it for this deep dive into digital health. Until next time, stay curious, keep asking those tough questions, and let's keep working towards a better future together.
Absolutely. See you next time.